Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Paulison, Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of FEMA. Also joining us in our conversation is Paul Hempstead, Director in IBM's Homeland Security Practice. David, given the critical lessons learned in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and certainly we've talked about many here, how do you envision the role of your office changing within the next 5 to 10 years?
Katrina was a wake-up call for not only FEMA, but pretty much every emergency manager across this country. As I meet with them and talk with them, they're all asking the same question. What if that was my city? What if that was my state? Would I have handled things differently? Would I have been better prepared? So if I see FEMA in the future, FEMA in the next 5 to 10 years, we have to become a much more nimble organization. We have to become a much more of a developing a partnership with our local and state partners out there, working together. You know, I talked earlier about going into a disaster as partners, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to be training together, doing exercises together, planning together, making sure that that we have all of our systems in place. We know who's going to do what. FEMA needs to be much more collaborative, much more of a partner as we move into this new system than we have in the past. We can no longer be the big brother or the parent-child relationship that we've had in the past. We truly have to be siblings. We have to be partners as we go into this whole disaster thing. And I see that developing. I see a lot of emergency managers out there recognizing that we have to do that. They have to bring the federal government in, that we have to go side by side. So I think that's the biggest changes I see.
So you do see that local entities are taking more responsibility in this area of emergency response?
Not only emergency response, emergency planning. We have to have better disaster plans in place across this country. You go to some cities, do a very good job. I'll give you an example. I just visited New York City. And they have just come out with a 300-some-odd page disaster plan for a hurricane coming into New York City. And how are we going to evacuate Manhattan, 3.5 million people? And where are they going to go, and how are you going to put that system in place? Did an outstanding job of putting that together. And I see other cities doing the same thing. Look at California working with their earthquakes, and Florida with hurricanes and others. Katrina, like I said, was a wake-up call. And now you see these big cities and smaller cities putting better evacuation plans together, putting better response plans together of how we're going to – what are we going to do if we have a disaster in our city?
As the country's chief emergency response organization, FEMA plays a critical role in security and safety of our country. To that end, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain high-quality technical workforce?
A big issue for FEMA. We're having a major turnover. We've just this year, we've already had 150 people retire. A lot of our senior executives who have left and move on to other things. So my job is to put a system in place to attract those. What I've started doing is at least at the leadership level of FEMA, I'm sending a message to our employees because I'm only bringing in people who are highly qualified with decades of experience. And that sends a message to our people that I'm serious about rebuilding FEMA. That, in turn, will start attracting people at the lower level, people, the technicians, to come in to work with FEMA. If they see that we're serious about rebuilding FEMA, that at least at the management side, I'm bringing very qualified, educated, experienced people, that will attract good people from the bottom end, the technicians, to come in to help us manage this organization and rebuild it.
David, you mentioned before about a relatively small employee workforce you have and a large influx of temporary employees. What do you do to ensure that the employees and those people have appropriate training and skills? And what is FEMA doing to ensure that it has the right staff mix to meet challenges afforded by both natural and man-made disasters?
Two things you mentioned there. One is the size of the staff. We know that we have to increase the size of our permanent full-time workforce. We can no longer depend on the disaster assistance employees to beef up every time we have a disaster. I've been working with Congress, working with the Homeland Security and with the White House, and how we can increase the size of FEMA over the next several years so we can accomplish all the things the American public expects us to do. The other part is training. FEMA has not had a very robust training system in place to make sure that our employees are the best they can be. So we're in the process of doing that. We know we have to do that. We know that if our employees are going to be asked to perform like the public expects us to do, we have to have a rock-solid training system in place to give them the tools to do the job.
David, we talk with many of our guests about the impending retirement wave in government, and you just mentioned about 110 folks that you've recently had retire. How are you handling these retirements and any potential future retirements?
Well, we're not handling the retirements. They're leaving on their own. But what we're doing is advertising. We're taking full-page ads in publications like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. We have to recruit, do better recruiting, and go to the community colleges, go to higher levels of institution to recruit the best and the brightest to come into FEMA. FEMA has a great, great mission. Our job is to help people. We believe that we can attract some of the brightest stars coming out of these colleges to come into FEMA to bring that that intelligence they bring in, bring that enthusiasm to fill in the gap behind the retirements. Every agency goes through this from time to time. We have a major exodus of people retiring, and it's very painful. It's very painful. It's tough. But in the long run, it's good for the organization because you bring in a lot of new, fresh blood, new ideas, a different generation. And so although it's tough now, it's very difficult right now with the amount of people we're losing, especially the good people we're losing. But I think in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a new invigorated FEMA that will bring in these new people and have an exciting – it's going to be an exciting organization. I really am excited about it.
That's great. Do you find yourself competing for similar skills with local entities, local governments, as well as the private sector?
Oh, no question about it. Not only competing at the local level, we're competing with other federal agencies, especially when you get it to people like bringing good, solid procurement officers in and contract managers. All of the agencies in the federal government competing for the same people. So we have to show them that we're the agency they want to work for. And I think our mission does that. Like I said, FEMA has a great mission. There's not too many agencies out there that can say our sole purpose is to help people, and that attracts the right – I think that's going to attract the right people.
That's fantastic. David, you've had an outstanding career. What advice could you give to a person who is considering a career in public service or perhaps for all those teachers that are about to start their career and perhaps want to get into emergency response?
Well, first of all, the teaching is a great career also. My brother's a teacher, and I actually did it for a while too, and it's a tremendous public service there also. Public service, particularly in the emergency management side of it, is an exciting type of thing. You get to see things and do things that most people would never be able to do in their lifetimes. However, don't come in here if you want to be a millionaire. you know, public services is exactly that. It's a dedicated service. It's a sacrifice, but it's the right thing. It's very fulfilling type of a system to get into, and I would encourage anyone to do that. A lot of opportunities, a lot of places you can go, and a lot of things, like I said, you'll see that most people would never get to see.
That's fantastic. David, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Paul and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country as a leader in the field of emergency response and management. And we wish you all the best of luck as you lead the critical organization of FEMA.
Thanks for the invitation. You know, we're encouraging people. Again, we talked earlier about people making sure they're prepared. They take responsibility for their own family. You can go to our FEMA website at FEMA.gov and get all of the ideas on the and examples of what you need to do to take care of yourself and your family as we go into this next year.
That's fantastic. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with David Paulison, Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.